This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This is Erin McGowan, certified personal trainer and sitting next to three drinks.
This is Ryan Staher, certified personal trainer and iPhone dimmer.
You used that one last time. You've reached us at the Dumbbells, a comedy fitness podcast.
Committed to bringing you repetition and inspiration.
Motivation.
And sometimes information.
Hey, dumbbells, let's get dumb.
It might not appear to them as last one.
Last time, you're right.
So that's completely allowed.
Well, check it out, dumbbell heads, bell babies, the true follow fan friends. Check it out, see if it was or if it's the next one. But you still having troubles with your iPhone? Just kidding, I don't care. I also talk about my drinks a lot in the intro because I usually have at least one to two next to me at all times. None with a lid. No lids. That's my rule.
Yeah, fair enough. You don't want to be dealing, you don't want to be wrestling lids clank. And also it's bad for an audio medium. Like you don't want like the listeners to have to hear the metal clanging, the plastic grinding, the paper getting wet.
That's right. You don't want it. Well, Stinger, you gonna tell the audience what we're doing today?
Yes. So we're answering some of your questions. I've got marbles in my mouth today, so this will be fun. Could barely
too.
Even
cool.
get that out or that right then. So you guys were gracious enough to send in your questions. We're going to be answering them on air so you can hear. Oftentimes we'll just do it quietly to ourselves. So we're letting you guys in on this one. So it should be pretty fun for everybody, all parties involved. I'd encourage you guys to, if you're listening in your car, roll down your windows, crank up the volume. So, people walking their dogs or cars next to you can get some information too. Don't be stingy with all the glorious, useful information we're about to.
That's right. Yep. Sunroof. Open it up. Let's do it.
We're about to unload on you guys. Yeah, open up the sunroof. Don't just go moonroof. We need to get the enough opening so that the sound can travel.
Yep. That's right.
It's not unreasonable, Aaron. Don't laugh like it's not unreasonable.
It's not. No, I'm just in a laughy mood, you know. Anything you say I could laugh at, you know.
It's a fair request. So should we answer one right out the gates and then do a little catch-up
stuff? Believe us?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. Yeah, let's do it. Okay, this is a good one. I love this. Do you guys aim... This is coming to us from Instagram. We've got Jen Astor. Astor? Astori. Do you guys aim for a certain daily hydration goal or just hydrate intuitively? I like this question.
Yeah, it's a good question. I feel like I noticed with my clients, they would get obsessed about hydration. That maybe have been when I was, you know, when I had more of a practice going, when I was training more people, like maybe it was popular at that time. Like, are you hydrated? Get hydrated. What's going on with hydration? They were talking about hydration. I'm not doing enough. This is how I get hydrated. And it could just be, you know, me living in my own little kind of fitness bubble to where like I'm always drinking water. And so I don't worry about it that much. Like I never feel like I'm like, ooh, I'm not drinking enough. I guess maybe when it gets a little colder out, I might fall off a little bit. But so for me personally, like I don't, you know, maybe I did initially like a long time ago and then it just became rote for me. And so I don't have to, but I think if you're one of those folks that find themselves like, wow, it's 8 PM and I haven't had a single glass of water, you might want to start to aim for a goal. And then And then I think it'll just, you'll just start to feel thirsty, you know, like, so it'll just become that, you'll just be used to that and it'll start to become natural for you. I don't know. What, Aaron, what do you think?
I think, I mean, I definitely agree with that. Like, I don't always pay super, super close attention to the number, but I also have in the past. And yeah. So now I kind of,
you just know.
Similarly, I do a little more intuitively, but I do aim for like 100 to 125 ounces a day. That's my water bottle's like 25 ounces. So I try to get 4 or 5 water bottles a day. And what that really boils down to is I try to get 3 by the time I'm done with work. My work day usually ends around 4 or 5. And so I try to make sure I at least have 3 by then. And then I have 1 like around dinner time. And then I get to have fun water, which is bubbly, bubbly water. But I also, I have really been trying to drink 1, at least a half a bottle before I have my coffee. I've heard that's like a very popular thing with the Huberman guy. What's that? Huberman Labs guy?
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what? That sounds like a habit I could understand and get behind. And so I'm like a first things first in the morning coffee person. And so to put water before that has been positive, but also challenging in a fun way. So I have been trying to do that at least. So
a cup of coffee counts as fluid intake though, doesn't it? I know you get all kinds of people who are like the caffeine cancels it out. But I think it's technically fluid.
Well, it is technically fluid, but it's not like it doesn't hydrate you. In the same way water does. No.
Well, I didn't know that.
No, because coffee makes. Wait, I just realized this. Do you drink coffee?
Yeah.
What kind?
Ground. No, I like.
Starting to feel like you don't drink coffee.
No, I do. Like a brand. I like this brand called Joshua Tree.
Okay. But you just organic, like have like a cup of regular coffee.
Yeah, or sometimes more. I used to drink espresso, but now I drink ground coffee through a filter.
Yeah. I've been doing espresso since being pregnant because it's actually lower caffeine. Yeah.
Yeah. Less caffeine.
Yeah. Which is
surprises everybody. It's right. More, it's a more concentrated dose that you're getting all at the same time. But you drink less of it and get less of a, there's just straight up less caffeine because you're having less. Yeah. But I do drink coffee. I do drink matcha green tea. You know, I don't know if I've ever read anything in, like as far as like if it's not the same, like what the difference is in versus at hydration level versus having plain water versus coffee. I mean, if you do like electrolyte infused water, then then that would have more, but I would be curious.
I just know that my pee doesn't seem the same as if I had water versus coffee. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, you start playing around with like what the recommended dose or daily water intake is. You know, I've seen a bunch of different things, 13 cups, roughly 104 ounces, but I think it's pretty individualized depending on your size, your weight, what your activity level, how much you're sweating, all that kind of stuff. But I say if you're aiming to get in like the kind of 75 to 120 ounces, 150 ounces, you know, you're probably in the right kind of ballpark. And so you should, you know, maybe take a look at that and evaluate. And I think that, like Aaron said, like having little tricks, you know, and goals and short-term goals to kind of meet that minimum daily intake can be helpful. Because you can't, it's not obviously not good to do like, oh, right before bed, like I missed it. So let me just chug a bunch of water because then you're going to be peeing all night. And then also the hydration doesn't serve the purpose that it's supposed to. because if I have heard, like, if you're thirsty, then it's already too late. You're already dehydrated. There's you're nothing already you can there. Do. That's the end of it.
You're dead. No. Yeah, I think waiting till you're thirsty, it is probably like, I mean, it's not too late, but it is like, if you're doing it intuitively in the beginning, you might wait until you're thirsty. And that is like,
yeah, then you're behind it. As yeah, you're behind it. In front.
Yeah. But it is hard in the cold months. It is. That's when I struggle the most.
I fall off in the cold months, too.
I did start doing like hot water with lemon, which does help me drink more water, because that was like at least something warm instead of more just cold water. Even room temperature water helps me drink more of it in the winter.
Oprah.
Not to brag, but these are hot tips. Hopefully those windows are open and you got your neighbors just listening to the hottest tips.
Screaming.
Hot water with lemon. Yippee-yay-yo-kay, baby. Let's ride.
That guy drinks Joshua Tree coffee. It's it's their espresso bean. It's fucking good. I mean, I'm running it through a coffee grinder myself and having that, but it's
okay.
Yeah. It tastes delicious.
I mean, Jason makes his espresso and he has, there's one he loves, but now I'm like, maybe I should get him to try this kind.
I highly recommend it. Not affiliated with them, not a brand that or a sponsor or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'll get you guys some.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay. Well, there we go. We're both very reasonable water intakers. Do you put electrolytes in your water?
I have and do. It depends on if I'm doing like a lot of sauna and, you know, maybe eating a little bit less. I will, you know, infuse the electrolytes because I get worried about my sodium levels.
Yeah.
So I'll take some in that way, but I don't have like a regular electrolyte, you know. I'm probably not doing quite, you know, in the summer months, you know, if I'm really hot and I'm doing sauna too, I'll use electrolytes. I try to find ones, I switch around different brands and stuff. I try to find the ones that, you know, have the least amount of junk, or if not no junk. And then, also are, you know, close to being like organic, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like if I'm taking concentrated micro like minerals and stuff, like I should, you know, maybe not try to put too much bullshit in there. I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's, but no brand loyalty anywhere.
I don't normally, but people say it's a good thing to have when you're in labor is electrolyte. Like, cause you're not like supposed to eat at a certain point, because if they have to put you in surgery, they don't want to have to wait till your stomach's empty or whatever. And that electrolytes is like, because essentially you're running a marathon, so it's a good way to keep your body hydrated and, you know, all the sodium, potassium, all those fun guys to help survive this.
Makes sense.
Race. So, hey, if you have any, you can tell me off mic so we don't give anybody a plug that doesn't need to be plugged, but any that you found that you liked that were good, because I just don't like them. Like Jason will put like a liquid IV in his water and I won't know, and I'll be like, hey, can I have a sip of your water? And then I'll take a sip of his water and I spit it everywhere. I hate it. It's so gross.
Too salty for you?
I don't know, it's just like I just want water.
Yeah,
I just want water. And so having it be like a fucking flavor, what the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah, maybe one of those things that you just have to kind of, because even flavorless, I get a salt taste to it. And then it's kind of like, well, I could just dilute it even more. But then it's just like, then it's still vaguely salty and it's just I have to drink more of it versus, you know, taking it a little more concentrated and then I could just be done with it. But I'm similar. They're always, you know, I wouldn't call them good per se.
Yeah, it's like, well, okay. Like I love bubbly water. Okay, yeah. So I do like a flavored water, but there's something about the bubbles that makes it different. There's something about, it's like weird off-brand Kool-Aid, and my body's just like, well, where's the sugar? If we're doing this, where's the sugar? This is boring. So anyways, I'll get over it for the day I have a baby. But after that, I'm going back to straight water.
Yeah. Yeah, similar. I mean, that's probably why I haven't found one I love, and that's probably why I hop around. You know, I'm still searching.
Yeah.
Will I ever find the will I find my Joshua tree of electrolytes? I don't know.
Electrolytes, yeah. The one that I have found, like, and you know, you can blink twice if you've heard of this and you like it or not, but the LMNT, that's the one I see that I'm curious about. I haven't tried it, but it does, and like doing like a half a pack. So that's the one I think I'm going to look into.
Okay.
Okay. All right. All right. You're keeping it cool. Keeping it cool. Keeping it cool. Well, that was, I mean, if it takes us 10 minutes to answer every one of these questions,
be here all night.
We're not going to get to very many. Yeah. Well, let's do it. What's up next, Stanger?
I've got hypermobility and get thrashed after a good gym session. Any recs? This is from BAD 8x9D. 8x9D? I don't know. I don't know if that spells something. Okay. If there's some way to like say what that spells. There probably is, and I'm dumb. But hypermobility, so I'm curious as to what's happening here. So hypermobility is like where you're just super flexible, moving beyond, you know, maybe even what's safe for a joint to move. So thrash, do you mean you're getting like really sore, or do you mean that you're actually getting ligament pain or like some kind of injury that's happening there? So as far as recovery, you know, I mean, if you're getting just really sore, it's, I think whether you have hypermobility or not, all the same strategies are in play for, you know, recovering from soreness. You can have a day where you know, just do very light, bike or walking so that you're moving around. And then also you can do like a little flexibility work, you know, obviously being careful since you're hypermobile. If you feel like you're experiencing some pain from joint damage, then I would like pay attention to the kind of exercises you're doing. And so for people that have this kind of hypermobility, I think closed track exercises are really beneficial, where you can, focus on working eccentric movements so that you're not going beyond, or you know, how far you're going beyond, or in the concentric movements, not stopping before you go beyond where it's unsafe, if that makes sense. That would be my advice, because, you know, I would adjust the way I'm training if you feel like there's some kind of ligament damage that's happening or joint damage. Yeah,
that, being pregnant, I felt that in my squats where I could go lower than I used to be able to go, and I had to pull back how far I could go versus like what I felt was like the old me that I could do. Does that make sense? So I was like trying to find where the old me could do instead of pushing it, because I realized I was hurting my knees, and banding my knees really helped with that. So if you don't have access to, you know, a gym with a bunch of machines, like simple, like those like thicker glute bands, or even the little plastic ones can also help too. But that really helped me with my squats. And then like even with lunges, just practicing like not going down so low. If I'm doing any sort of lunge, I guess you didn't ask for exercise tips.
Well, but we're giving hypotheticals. If the hypermobility is causing you to take the, you know, too much depth in movements or, you know, go far beyond what's safe. So I think, you know, working that deceleration a lot, and being very mindful of that, even if you have to scale back the weights a little bit so that you can be, you know, so for somebody like me that doesn't, you know, that is like has mobility issues in the opposite way, you know, like I'll just, you know, based on my anatomy and my limitations, I won't take something too far because I can't. So it's just kind of like my anatomy helping me out there. But if you're somebody that does, you know, that does have those issues, then you may need to, you know, focus your exercise on working that deceleration and then, you know, having the presence of mind while you're exercising to, you know, decelerate into those movements, so that you're not, you know, causing this damage to your joints.
Yeah.
If that's what's happening there. If not, you know, it's like ice and heat and all, you know, all that kind of, if you have access to, cold plunge, you know, you could, even if you're not doing it every exercise every week or every training day every week, you could do like on a really, like you do a heavy leg day and you're super sore, you could do like cold plunge the next day. That would help out a lot. Or, you know, heat
and foam rolling. I mean, foam rolling is a much more accessible option. I don't know. Like sometimes I think that you could just do a cold plunge in your own cold bathtub. If you,
could definitely do that.
If you don't have the stamina for whatever they're doing at these fancy places. But foam rollers and like Epsom salt baths, if you're hypermobile and you don't want to hurt yourself stretching by yourself, I get in it, you know, foam roll. That doesn't, I really don't think it would affect a hypermobile person. I'm sure there's a way it could work. It could affect them negatively, but I think that would be a great option.
Probably if there's any kind of like lever stuff happening, you know, to where you're like anchoring one side and then.
Yeah, and then, that's true.
You know, but I mean, you can, that's something that can easily be monitored and you can modulate however you need.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let us know what thrashed means these days. Cause I am, you know, almost 40. Ah, oh my God. That's crazy.
This is 40.
I've seen that movie and I don't feel like I'm old enough to be those people. Do you know what movie I'm talking about?
This is 40.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd and Leslie Mann.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Wow. That's the reference I was making.
Oh, it was. Okay. They do like ecstasy or something and they have like grown children. And I'm like, I'm about to have a baby and I have never done ecstasy. So,
you know, I think, is it that, or do they do mushrooms or something?
Maybe it's mushrooms. It's one
of those
seen,
like Cirque du Soleil or some shit or. or they're in like a hotel room.
Weed. Yeah, they're in a hotel room.
I think they do something hallucinogenic.
I mean, that does make for a fun movie for sure. Let's see here. Let me pull up the questions. Okay.
I've done it all. I've got a 13-year-old. I've done all the stuff.
The drugs?
Yeah.
Oh, this is a good one, and I don't know the answer, so please, Stanger, tell everyone, okay?
Sure.
This comes from us. Comes to us from Harvard Law School Admin. Interesting. Wow. That's fun. That's a fun handle. All right. In terms of gym courtesy, how many machines/weights can one use simultaneously? I love a gym courtesy question. What do you think?
Simultaneously. Oh, man. I mean, my instinct is to say you can't.
Yeah.
You can't do it simultaneously. Two machines. If it's not crowded, have at it. And you know, there's nobody waiting for machines. It's not crowded. I say go for it. You know, go do as many as you want. And then if somebody wants to break in or work in, you have to let them. And I would say that applies for even if you want to do, you know, take down two machines while it is crowded, you always have to let people work in. But I think if the gym's crowded, it's just, you know, you can't be like using, you know, leg extensions and lat pull downs and just keeping your water on both of them or whatever. I think I do think that's bullshit.
Yeah. Okay. So like, I don't use the machines a lot, but I do think that if I saw somebody had their stuff on a machine and it was busy, I would be so mad. But that's why you go with the gym buddy, and then you can do, and then you just have your work-in partner with you. But that's not realistic for everyday life, but that is nice.
Yeah, going back and forth. Here's what I'll say, though. I do think it's absolutely okay to say you want to, you know, you're doing like lat pull downs again and you want to bring some dumbbells over and then do a set of lats. And then while during your rest, bang out a set of bicep curls or something like you're doing buys and tries. I think that's totally fine to do.
Yeah.
I don't think that you're Bogarting too much equipment if you're doing that.
What about if you're okay? What about if you're on the bench, like lineup, you know, they got like 10 benches, they're against the mirrors, and that's where all the dumbbells are. How many dumbbells are you allowed to pile around you while you're on a bench?
I think just what you're working with. I don't know. Maybe if you're doing maybe two sets tops.
Okay.
Because there is times where I've felt like, oh, I want to do some military press and then I want to do some posterior delts in the same kind of, you know, exercise couplet. I think that's fine. Mm-hmm. I have seen, you know, people that have like 10, you know, like,
sure. Oh my God.
It goes
yes.
like the whole, it's like dumped yeah. around them. Like it's just like Tinker Toys or something where you're just like, okay, what the fuck's going on here? But I say two sets on, you know, an organized exercise couplet, two sets of dumbbells, I think is okay. But again, I think it's also, you know, making a judgment decision, you know, game time decision on how crowded it is. So yeah, if the gym, yeah. the gym's jammed, the extra, like the dumbbell rack is looking pretty sparse anyway. I don't know. I would exercise my better judgment then and just maybe use the set that I'm working with directly. But again, if it's not crowded and it's fairly empty there, I say go for it. You don't have to be dogmatic about this stuff. You know, I think being able to improvise in the moment is, you know, a valuable, you know, gym intelligence to have.
Yeah. And if you can get a one word suggestion, go for it. You know, let's get into it. Let's do improv while we're improvising at a gym, you know, and become everyone's number one friend.
Everyone That's good stuff. That. Improv is cool. It is useful.
It's top tier stuff, man. Get into it. It's going to help much you as with you can, dating.
Yeah. It's describe how funny a scene was that happened, you know, because it always translates. I was just talking about this with somebody. It you was were? So funny. There was like six of us. We were all Abraham Lincolns. And we blew out the world because we were talking about like which one of us was going to get to pose for the penny, but also like that how big the boobs were on our friends' moms. Mary Todd, of course, comes in and then she's bothered by this. Oh, and then we did have to make jokes about how young we were when we were dating, stovetop hat. Mm-hmm. And then like the person's eyes just fucking glazes over. But meanwhile, it killed in the room. Killed in the room.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a scene I remember doing that I got asked to join another improv team after I was so funny in the scene. And I desperately want to explain it to everyone that I ever meet. And it's never going to be funny.
Yeah, it's hard.
Again. And it is hard to let go. But in the gym, bring it up. Bring it up, babies. Okay, I think that's a good answer.
It's a fucking great answer.
Great answer. We did it.
All Somebody right. in the fucking Cybertruck heard us and they're like, shit, dude. Well, that's good stuff to know. Aaron, you got a Cybertruck.
Common courtesy.
How do you like it?
Cybertruck?
Yeah.
What's Cybertruck?
What?
What's Cybertruck?
You don't know about the fucking Tesla truck?
No, I don't.
Oh, wow. You've really been focused on nesting.
Millionaire matchmaker. Oh, yeah, nesting for my baby. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I meant. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
No, it's Cybertruck.
It's like a kind of like SUV that for a Tesla that's like crazy. It looks like something from the Terminator or some shit. And all the, you know, Elon Musk, Tesla people are all fucking pumped about it. There's a big like,
oh my gosh, I'm looking at it. Holy shit.
There's a big joke that happened is like supposedly the windows were unbreakable. And when they were demoing it, like a guy threw a weighted at the window and it just like cracked right through the windshield.
Good. God. Oh my gosh.
It is weird when you see him driving around town. It looks like a DeLorean or some kind of shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
a DeLorean, but a big one.
Yeah.
The mother load. Okay. Wow. 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 Okay.
Yeah. They've been talking about him for a while. And I would say like in the past couple of months, you've been seeing them on the roads finally.
This is crazy. Okay. Yeah. So someone in a cyber truck heard this.
Learned about Jim Courtesy.
Because I'll be honest, someone that like owns and drives a Cybertruck has never thought about Jim Courtesy a day in their goddamn life.
Nope. They're definitely looking out for number one.
Yeah. Wow, that's an intense vehicle. Okay, wow. Anyways, let's do another question. Speaking of Cybertruck, let's talk about CrossFit.
Yeah.
We had a question come in. Laura. Laura, 1133. What do you think
she's
about CrossFit?
She's a friend of the pod.
Friend
of the pod. Nice to hear from you, Laura. 1133.
What do you think? What do you think about CrossFit? What do you think about CrossFit? Is the intensity of the workouts overkill? Great question. I love talking about CrossFit. I've never done it, and I love talking about it. What do you
Coming
think?
Coming from Sanger? My own lack of experience.
Have you ever tried it?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
He's typing no into the...
shaking my head no. Yeah.
Never once.
So CrossFit has definitely been through it. You know, when it first started, it was cultish. The guy that started it had bad politics, right? Or something weird like that. Yeah. And then they kind of defranchised a little bit. There's a lot of places out there that started as CrossFit gyms and now have kind of their own thing, but they maybe still use CrossFit. And I think that there's been an attempt to kind of make it over. So the initial rub on it outside
like
of
the Southern Baptist Church. Burn!
The initial rub on it was that there wasn't enough specialized attention. You know, they were demanding people do complex lifts in a competition-based setting for speed, most importantly, and reps completed, as opposed to these are complex lifts and are these people doing them right? Because there was like a high rate of injury and people falling off and, you know, the injuries were coming back as pretty significant. And so there, you know, what you kind of lost in a one-on-one setting was that like, ooh, this needs to be tapered to this person's, you know, limitations or fitness level or whatever it was. It was just like, nope, right. I've gone right for my couch. And then now I'm trying to do, you know, snatch press, run a mile, sprint in the parking lot. Nobody's looking at if I'm doing this right. Or what was my warm up? You know, all that kind of shit. And so people were getting pretty banged up from it. And it was like wild injuries that, you know, that they wouldn't have fallen upon them if they hadn't been doing this. So I think that that's by and large been addressed. And now they're trying to improve on that. So I think it's unique gym to gym. And so you should definitely, you know, if you're interested in this kind of thing, because it can be infectious and it can be a good motivator and create, you know, good accountability, people will go because it can be really fun. And you certainly don't want to, you know, to have not have that experience because you're scared of getting injured when you could go to a place that's safe. So that being said, let's say it meets all those criterias and checks all those boxes. In regards to the intensity of the workouts, I don't think it is. I mean, I think if you're at the fitness level to where you can handle it, doing something really high intensity like that yields a lot of benefit and can be really good for you. It's certainly something that we lose out on as adults, like you get older and then it's just, you know, even on this podcast, we'll talk about like, hey, just walk. Which you absolutely should, you know, especially if you're not willing to do anything, at least just start with walking so that you're doing something. It's kind of like the, you know, small percentage of something is better than 100% of nothing. That being said, if you're feeling like you're fit and you're in shape and this, you find a gym that checks all these boxes, it can be really good to challenge yourself to something that's very hard, that is high intensity, that you leave feeling exhausted. Because I don't know, you hit, we talked about like almost 40. This is 40.
Yeah.
A lot of people never do anything like that again. And there are, you know, outside of what it's doing for your aesthetics, like your looks, your body, and all that kind of shit, there's tons of other health benefits that you get from it. Tons.
Well, and I will say, like, as a person that has been to a CrossFit-esque gym, it wasn't CrossFit exactly, but having that like high intensity or kind of belonging to a gym that one has community can be fun. It can also be culty. And it can also, usually they're a high expense. And so like you aren't like also taking like yoga on the weekends. Cause it's like, how much money do I want to spend in my life on fitness? And so I would say if you are doing something this high intensity, try to find like a day where you can focus on stretching or mobility, because that is kind of where you see people fall off as they age, is that if they get that like addiction to that high intensity, then stuff like yoga doesn't feel as worth it because you don't get that same hit of adrenaline or, you know, whatever it, you're, whatever it feels like when you're done. And that was something that I, because I miss high intensity. And when this baby is out of me, I'm going to get back into it. But I want to do it in a more balanced way so that I am recovering. I'm actually recovering and actually like doing the work on the front and back end so that I'm not like just wrecking myself. So I think
thrashing yourself.
Let's find out what it means before we say it, you know.
I think it just means like going really hard,
getting fucked up.
I agree with all of that. I think you have to police yourself. And you have to maintain balance. And so if you really like it, if you find yourself getting into it, I would say you do have some homework to do in regards to, you know, maintaining your flexibility, taking rest days, you know, having days, you know, listening to your body. If you need to take a day off, you take the day off. Or if there's something you can't do, just straight up don't do it. Ask for an alt. So
if something feels off, let them know. A good gym across the board, if you are trying to do something that they're asking of you and it feels wrong, they should be able to give you an alternative. If they can't,
fuck them.
Bye. Fuck them.
Fuck you, West Coast Fit 399. Fuck you. You always drive by places like that and you're like, oh, interesting. You know, like the windows are all blacked out. It's got like a dragon on the front of it. West Coast Fit 399. There's a bunch of like people with like, you're like, what kind of shoes are those? Like weird fitness shoes walking in there and stuff. And they're all friends.
There's one on like Ventura, I think. that I, like, we went to, like, a restaurant, and I was like, I want to see what's going on in this. And the windows were, like, really dark. I couldn't see what was going on, and it was, like, chained shut. And I was like, Jesus Christ, what happened here?
Hardcore.
Was it, like, a weird time of day? It was, like, they only were open in the morning or something. I don't know. But it was, you know, I still want to find out more
there's
about
like
it.
There's, like, fucking ropes you got to climb up, assault bikes. King Kong is chained up in the corner. You're like, Jesus Christ, this shit. Was.
Yeah, now that you mentioned that, there was a King Kong in the corner.
They're playing a lot of Linkin Park.
God help us. God help us. All right, I got one from the email. You want to plug our email real quick?
Yeah, Stanger? It's askthedumbbells@gmail.com. That's askthedumbbells@gmail.com.
That's right. Okay, we're got an email from Jim Moore, everybody. Hey, dumbbells. I'm a 27 male, and I've been lifting weights regularly since freshman football. I think that's so you can relate to him. I follow a few fitness influencers on Instagram, and I'm constantly seeing people using honey or raw maple syrup as a natural sweetener. If going this route, is there an issue with using a light or otherwise processed low-calorie version, maple syrup specifically? Generally interested in being reminded of the issues with zero-calorie sweeteners and how you both get your sweet fix in healthy ways. I don't have an issue with going with the organic version other than the price, and that's not currently what's in my fridge. Thanks. I feel like this question was made for Ryan Stanger.
I mean, I would say if you are going to use maple syrup or honey as your sweetener, I would go with the least processed versions of them, unfortunately. I mean, it does start to get expensive. You should be using them limited anyways. But
you said unlimited?
Limited. Limited.
Man, I'm fun.
Yeah. Don't you, you know, people just driving by are going to get the wrong info. Somebody in an Acura Integra is just whipping a U-turn. They only heard unlimited. They heard you say unlimited, and now they're
unlimited going, honey and maple syrup.
They're going
God,
to the
can
fucking
you imagine?
Ralph's or Rayleigh's, whatever are. supermarket you have in your region. And they're going, you know, just loading up a whole shopping cart full of that stuff. I mean,
unlimited, like Elf. We got freaking Elf up in here. All right. Sorry. I'm done.
There's vitamins and minerals, antioxidants. Those are all beneficial to your wellness in, you know, both. They, I don't know. You always like hear stuff about like honey can actually, you know, has a positive effect on your, you know, glycemic response and all that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, again, it may, I don't know. I haven't like looked exactly at the literature on that, or the studies on that, but, you are going to get an insulin response from those. So, you know, if you're going to take that hit, you might as well get the benefit from using the least processed version. So, you know, organic, I don't know, you can kind of play around with that stuff, but I would try to find the least processed version that you can afford. And then in regards to artificial sweeteners, you know, that's another one that's, you know, we have like the stevia, we have the monk fruit, we have the allulose. You know, I think that those are all probably okay. You know, you'll read some studies that'll come out to where it's like, there was actually, you know, something that happened from a cardiovascular standpoint from the people that were having erythritol or whatever. I don't know how to pronounce it, but erythritol or some shit. You know what I'm talking about? It's one you see
about the Cybertruck. So
it's one you see in a lot of stuff. It's like a lot. It became popular. It has sugar alcohols. But anyway, they were finding that like there's something was going on from a cardiovascular standpoint. Like people were having cardiovascular events. And then they also they linked that to them having high doses of this. The problem was there was no control element in the, you know, so they didn't look at the people's heart before they had these this sweetener. And then compare it to what happened afterwards. And so, you know,
hard to know.
They can't, you know, it's tough. You can't really draw a correlation, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, oftentimes it's people that were trying to watch their weight. And so they were using like a zero calorie sweetener alternative anyway. And so they had issues coming into it. And that's what was, you know, happening there. It's tough to draw, you know, causality out of that. So I think, you know, if you want to dabble around in the artificial sweeteners, again, it's like use moderation. The old notion that you will get an insulin response because you're tasting something sweet has been proven false. What it could do is, you know, because people would say like, oh, you know, you're having diet soda, your body's tasting something sweet, you're getting an insulin response, you might as well just have a Snicker anyway. Not the case. What it could do is stimulate a like your the hormones that your body releases when it knows food's about to come, and then that can, you know, make you eat more. It's because you're like, ooh, I was anticipating getting calories. I've released all these, you know, these calories that is going to help break down this food, and then nothing comes. So then you feel the desire to eat more, and that's in turn can, like, you know, up the amount of calories you would eat beyond what you would normally be having. So that's something to be considered. But, you know, I think there's some pretty good protein bars, you know, that kind of stuff. So you're getting a little bit of mix in the macronutrients. It kind of scratches the sweet tooth itch a little bit. And then at least you're getting some macros. And then I would say, you know, have the stuff you want to have. You know, if you want to go a little bit more hardcore, you know, sweeten it, something sweetened with honey or maple syrup, better. And then just make sure you have some good fats with it, like walnuts or a little bit of protein too. And that'll help, you know, fill you up. You won't eat as much of it. And, you know, kind of go from there. Do you have anything for a sweet tooth fix that's quasi healthy? It's also good sometimes just, and this is what everybody says, just to have the thing. So that it's not taboo.
I would say that something that I've been trying to do, you guys have, you know, I've been pregnant now forever, and I have let myself have York peppermint patties. That's been my most, like, straight sugar, just letting it go. And I have been attempting to just have fruit.
What the fuck?
Just the fruit instead of, you know, a rapid fire peppermint patties. And fruit does kind of work. And, like, at least, and this is coming from a pregnant woman with crazed hormones, that it really does. I feel it sometimes where I'm like, I just want to go to Target and get a bag of York peppermint patties. But instead, I just eat a lot of blueberries and strawberries. And if it's still going, I'll shut it down with a date. Y'all, those things will drop. Well, it'll end you. So there are ways, like, I'll have a smoothie if I'm going crazy, put some protein in it, put some fats in it, and that will help. But because I'm like, I know that I can't live like this forever. This is, I do eventually want to eat healthy again. And I've been trying to practice just that little bit of self-control. And so, I mean, I hate artificial sweeteners. I hate them. I think they suck. I think I've tried all of them. I think they all suck. So I would rather have the real thing. I would rather have sugar when I want something sweet. And so if I am going to go down that road, I am going to go buy a real thing. And that's it. I mean, monk fruit I'm interested in. I haven't tried that in a sweetener form.
I've had some good stuff that's monk fruit. They often will pair it with another artificial sweetener. I don't think it quite gets you over the goal line, or maybe too much of it is, you know, you can taste it as being something a little off, you know?
Yeah.
Because even like I've tried to buy just like pure monk fruit and use it to bake with, and it's even like the kind of powdered version of it that you could use for baking is often paired with some other kind of what I guess you could call a natural no-calorie sweetener. I don't know if you could see if, like artificial, but you would say natural no-calorie sweetener. So the last thing I'll say on this, I feel like I've been fucking rambling a lot. Apologies, guys.
Well, I mean, there's a lot to cover in this. I mean, this is a big, big topic, honestly.
Yeah, I would take stock in yourself and find out what's going on here. Is it that I really enjoy these things and that I feel a little sad or gloomy when I don't have them or feel like I can't have them? You know, that's something to look into, because then it's like, hey, then take a look at your calories and figure out how you can still have that stuff. You know, and then in moderation, and then, you know, with work and time, eventually that'll start to, you know, that'll start to pay off for you. Or, you know, you can look into the alternatives and see if that scratches an itch. Like Aaron said, you know, you could try like a darker chocolate bar and, you know, have a couple of squares and see what that does for you. You know, it may not in
That's
the moment,
true.
You
do,
may not even,
the dark, even, dark chocolate does help.
Yeah. You may not feel like in the moment, like, oh, these three squares of dark chocolate I had, I still fucking am starving, but I feel like over time, it'll start to pay dividend. Like it'll be like, oh, that actually was enough. But you know, sometimes doing some like consciousness work or being present, you know, being in the moment can help that. And so an issue that I had that I've talked about on the show before was, and this is something different that you would need to address, is there some kind of compulsive eating component that's happening? Because if that's the case, then you need to do a little deeper work. Because for me, the problem was, is that I would restrict myself. And then when I finally did allow myself something that I wanted or something that was like a quote unquote treat, I would eat far beyond satisfaction or being full or enough because I was compulsively eating. And then, you know, you feel like shit. You know, it's a trigger. It can lead to a couple days of doing that kind of stuff. You know, it's different than binging and purging, but it's, you know, it's just like I'm eating compulsively. And so with that, then you have to be careful about, you know, how much you're restricting yourself and what you're allowing yourself to have, because there's both can be triggers. And so you may want to like look into that. Nothing in your question alluded to that. It's just, you know, me saying like, you know, if you got a sweet tooth, it's like examining what kind of sweet tooth is it? Is it a compulsive eating thing, or is it a reasonable sweet tooth like my Papa Vern had, to where he just needed a Baby Ruth every once in a while and he was all good?
Yeah. Or are you like me, where it's like, it's been 24 minutes since I've had a York peppermint patty. I could use another.
Yeah. Or is it like me, where it's like, these aren't even that good, but let me bang out this box of crumble cookies. Let's just get it eaten and done and out of the house. Done. Yep. That's good. We got all 10 of them in. I feel awful. I didn't like half of them that I tried. I didn't enjoy it, but it's done. And then tomorrow we start over again. So.
Man. Oh, you got to bring crumble into this. This is my last few weeks of pregnancy.
No E on that. They're just, and I think I've never even tried them. I think they probably are fine cookies, but that was like,
oh,
that
they
was
are good. They are.
I've been good for a while in regards to all that, but it, you know, took a little bit of work and had to work with some folks to kind of help me arrive at this place. It wasn't something I could handle on my own. And so I, you know, getting some help with that. And, definitely feel a lot of relief to, you know, not be a prisoner of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd hate to be a prisoner at a crumble cookie jail. I'd work really hard to get out as soon as possible.
You got
to
eat your way out of here.
No, you know what? We did have crumble cookies at my baby shower. And there were a couple that I was like, I don't like this one enough to eat it. And that is maturing. I'm maturing. So, hey, it can happen, folks. It can. Okay, you want to answer one more? One more time. Last question. Let's see. Drum roll, please. It doesn't have to be the last question, but we'll wrap it up. Okay.
Depends on how much I ramble.
I mean, some. Okay. Stanger. This is from the Lionel King, which I love that name. Stanger. What's your opinion on the zipper saunas, i.e. sauna box or Nurcover? Nurcover? Do you know anything about these?
I understand the basic concept of them. And from what I understand is that you get benefit from the heat exposure. From the heat exposure, like anything you're doing to raise that core temperature. Now, as far as like these really, to me, compelling studies that came out of Finland, to where people experienced these robust health responses. Again, they're observational, but it was a large group of people that they studied for a long time. So these really robust health benefits and related to all cause mortality and, you know, brain related deterioration and all that kind of stuff, staving that stuff off. Again, observational studies. Those were related to, you know, raising your, being in an external temperature of like 180 degree plus. You're not going to get that with a blanket. But I have heard that like, even like a heated bath, like warm water in a bath, yields some of the health benefits that maybe a traditional Finnish sauna would. So I say, you know, if it fits in your price range and your space and all that stuff, like go for it. If you're going to do it and stick to it. I can't speak to any of those brands because I haven't researched them. So, you know, I would just, you know, err on the side of caution and, you know, making sure that you're reading legitimate reviews and stuff. And as far as how long they last and, you know, if they're any kind of fire hazard or any of that kind of shit, you know, because it's like so much like in the health and fitness world is like these, you know, these trends will come up and then everybody wants to capitalize on it. And so they'll, you know, they'll crank out pieces of shit. But if you've done your kind of, you know, consumer research, good consumer research, and you want to go for it, do that. And for, you know, people that aren't interested in the blankets or that, but, or having a sauna, warm bath, look into like, or I should say hot bath, look into that and the health benefits of that. You know, I think the duration and consistency maybe, or frequency changes a little bit, but worth looking into.
I mean, I can't wait to get back in the sauna life. I gotta get in. As soon as this baby's out, I'm getting in. Even if I can't stay in there for very long, because I can't. That is hard for me, but I do want to. I feel like I'm understanding the benefits a little bit more.
Oh, and aside from the physiological benefits, you know, what it does from like a body health standpoint, a lot of mental health stuff too, a lot of positive mental health stuff. Like it helps with people's depression and, you know, you get all these like, you know, brain drive neurotropic factors and, you know, some cool stuff that's all positive.
Well, and then this
some cool stuff that's all positive.
No negative, not even one negative. No
negative. It's cool stuff that's all positive.
Unless your house catches on fire, then that might be the one negative.
I've got expertise. Don't want your house to catch fire.
Oh, so my God.
As long as you don't catch fire, then good. Oh, right. I listened to the dumbbells this week. That was fucking super helpful. So I learned that it's bad for a house to catch fire. Okay, let me write all this down.
Bad house to catch fire. Unless you get a great insurance payout. Anyway, don't burn your own house down. Okay. I was going to say, since that one was toward you, we'll do one for me and then we'll go.
Sounds good.
This comes to us from Chrissy Tista. Have there been any specific exercises you've done to prepare for birth? Any classes? And I will say, I think for me, like working on like deep squats, like not weighted, just practicing like staying low and like a very, very low squat in that regard, any like hip opening stuff. I think by this point, our episode about mobility will have come out. So a lot of stuff with using the physio ball that will hopefully help with actual labor. That's my hope. But there hasn't been classes other than the YouTube prenatal yoga that I've been doing, and then working with a personal trainer that has been really helpful. And then let's see, the yoga I have been doing is, let's see her name. But it's free on YouTube, and there's like truly a million. Let's see. My internet doesn't want to work. So how about that? But it's like,
how many
yogi
times a week are you doing it?
Like twice. I would say more than that, I will. That has been my goal, and feels like for me mentally, that is good. Let's see.
And do they have different, do you have a set time that you like to do it? Duration that you like to do it? Like you like to do 20? Do you go half hour, hour?
Sometimes I'll do the half hour, but I'll stop early just as like this, like, thing that helps my contrarianism.
Yeah.
But usually toward the end,
also it's helps you show up for it, because you're like, I can stop this whenever the fuck I want.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Wow. Truly can't explain why my phone won't pull up this woman's name. But she's great, and I'll put it in the notes of the episode if I can ever get it to open again.
Phone may never work again, and that's just the reality.
It's so good. It's like a black screen. This is so weird.
If only you had a Cybertruck.
God.
Right away.
This is what they want is for us to need a Cybertruck. You know? Mm-hmm. God.
Too bad you don't have the iPhone 20. I got it. I got it early.
You got it real early. Shit, dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
I jumped ahead 5 to the 20. This motherfucker. It already knows the lady that you're trying to pull up.
That's right.
You haven't even said it out loud. God. It's blocking your phone from doing it, and it's putting it on mine. I'm not going to say who it is because it's your question. It was for you.
It was.
Just know that me and my iPhone 20 got it. And yes, I know that was the incorrect use of object subject pronouns.
God. Well, I'll never find it. It's fine. But yeah, those are the things I've been doing. Oh, wait, here we go. Hold on. Paula, a.k.a. Yogini Melbourne. Okay. Type that into YouTube and you'll find her.
Okay.
Yogini Melbourne. Y-O-G-I-N-I.
Sounds like an Italian slur. This fucking Yogini over here. Shut up, pony.
You're right. It does. But she has stuff for every trimester and all different like times and like length, duration of class and stuff. So, and she's not annoying.
I'm supposed to share my goddamn pasta fazool with this Yogini? Not a fucking chance.
Don't make me laugh, Stinger. I can't hold this pee much longer.
Just go.
Oh, God. So I hope that helps. I think the main thing was realizing that I don't need to continue to like lift super heavy weights during this like end of my pregnancy. And you can, it's not that you can't, but you want to start learning how to relax your pelvic floor instead of always using it to brace and hold. You want to be able to have your pelvic floor work with you to get your baby to come out. And so that has been the thing that's like, I don't have to like keep doing really heavy squats and really heavy deadlifts and focus on don't lose muscle. And it's like, it's okay if you lose a little bit of muscle if you're switching your focus for this like brief moment in time to like learning how to work with your body.
You need to optimize your body for childbirth.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that has been, I'm still doing moves that I still do squats, but I'm not squatting with the barbell as often. And I will again, but for now, hey, I will do it. Okay. I'm not going to say I don't touch a barbell, but I'm trying to let that part go and work on God, just mobility. It sucks for me, but I know it will be better in the long run. So
no, it's great. You're doing specialized training for
what I'm about to do.
An athletic feat, you know, it's an endurance event. And you're going to do great. That was great, Aaron. Fun to answer these questions. I hope you and you know, all the driver buyers. Yeah, that makes sense.
Driver buyers. That's what I call
driver buyers. People, yeah. You know, listening to the episode. We want to thank everybody for writing in their questions. It doesn't have to be limited to a special questions episode. Keep them coming in, and then we'll, as soon as we can, we'll collect them all and get to them on a dedicated episode. If you got questions for us, the email again is askthedumbbells@gmail.com. We'll check there.
You can also send us questions at Instagram @thedumbbells. You could try on TikTok. That'd be cool to get a message there. I guess we don't normally get messages there, but you could @thedumbbells.pod.
What it is or how it works. Outside of some kind of surveillance. But
yeah, supposedly surveillance.
Who knows? Behalf of myself and Aaron McGowan, signs, we are the Dumbbells, and all our wonderful contributors today wrote in their questions generously. We would like to remind everybody to train dirty,
eat clean,
and live in between.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.